Hi, everybody. This is Laurie Handlers, and we're back with Tantra Cafe on bbsradio.com. Tantra Cafe is a program for spiritual enlightenment, and I'm so happy to be here today. I love my show. I hope you love my show, too, and I hope you're finding it to be a tremendously enlightening and educational experience as you follow along with the people that I've had, the amazing guests that I've had talking about Tantra and your awakening through connecting your body. So today, first of all, I greet you with Om Shanti Shanti Shanti, which means I greet you in peace. And today's appetizer is, for me, a little discourse about the body. And, you know, how you feel about your body and how you treat your body is a really important subject in Tantra. In Tantra, what I learned anyway was to connect my body to my spiritual pursuits. And I did that, you know, finding, like, kind of connecting dots that just weren't there before. Before Tantra, I had a disconnect about my body and also about my sexuality. I had a disconnect because I just never felt right about it. I never felt anyway. I mean, you know, I felt indignant about it, but I never really felt right about it. I never felt like my sexuality and the way I chose to express it would be acceptable spiritually. It was kind of like something I had to hide. And when I found Tantra, everything came together because I was able to connect the dots. I was able to use my body for my spiritual pursuits. I was able to have sacred sex, sex that had different meaning than pleasure only for pleasure's sake. And it's been since 1996, so it's been quite some time since I've been practicing this way. And I found also that my body became a temple, and I chose to use my temple differently and exchange energy differently than I had before. I really got selective about my foods and my exercise because I wanted my temple to stick around. I wanted to honor myself as much as I might want another to honor me. You know, we've had the topic before, like how does Tantra connect to yoga? How do the two things connect? And I'm saying all this today because I'm building up for who my guest is, you know, for the main course. This appetizer is about really getting your body in shape, being very cognizant about how you use it, very cognizant about what you put in it and the way you treat it and the way you exercise it and take care of it. I mean, most people, let's face it, they take more care of their cars than they do their body. Or they spend a lot of money on clothes, but they don't worry about, you know, they don't take care of the inside until their heart attacks them or something. So I'm bringing this all up because my guest today is a person who specializes in naked yoga. And I guess you kind of have to be willing to show yourself right out there doing yoga when you're in a naked yoga class. And so now we're bringing the whole thing around. Yes, we've said that the postures of yoga and the practice of yoga adds to the practice of Tantra, that if you can, you know, get yourself into a lot of different postures and accomplish strength and flexibility and stamina and surrender your ego to that, that you would be in great shape to be a tantric in the sexual performance area. And today we're going to take it a step further, and we're actually going to talk about what it is to practice yoga naked. So I leave you with that as my appetizer. We move on to the main course. I want to tell you a little bit about my guest today. Her name is Isis Phoenix, and she is the founder of Naked Yoga New York City, and also the Phoenix Temple in Manhattan. And she has built this thing, this naked yoga in New York, to tremendous proportions because loads of people are going in. She does other events naked, like kirtan, and she'll tell us about that. Now, I just want, before she comes on, I just want to say that I happen to know someone who goes to a lot of her classes. And this guy was a fairly attractive guy before, but he was somewhat overweight and paunchy. And still, he was a good-looking guy, pepper and salt hair. I saw him around all the tantra things. And I saw him, I don't know, a month ago, and I just went, what have you been doing? He said, I go to naked yoga 3 times a week, and the guy looks like $1 million. So, you know, whatever motivates you to get to yoga and to move your body, possibly being naked in yoga is a good thing. So, Isis, are you there? Do we have you?
Yes, I'm here, Lori. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. I'm so excited to have you as my guest, and that's a true story I tell. There is someone that we both know in Manhattan.
Yes.
And I recently had the founder of Sexy Spirits, Anton, on my show. And the person I'm talking about is Steve from Sexy Spirits, and he looks like $1 million since you got your hands on him. So tell us a little bit about how, you know, we're going to connect some of this to Tantra, you know, but how in the heck did you find your way to naked yoga?
Well, it actually began as a natural extension of my own yoga practice. You know, I had a regular vinyasa hatha practice that I was doing, and it sort of evolved after that. But what I want to come to even before that was I did have a tantric practice before I thought of this, you know, wonderful paradigm to bring to New York City about fully embodying the divine through a naked yoga practice, where I was doing you know, a lot of rituals, sky clad, and doing a lot of conscious loving work and sacred sexuality work. And so with that combined with the vinyasa hatha, it felt like a natural extension not only of the yoga practice but of the tantric practice itself. And, you know, it's one of my favorite stories is just rolling out my mat one day and just deciding, oh, I am going to do my practice naked today. And having this amazing experience on the mat that I had realized I covered up so much of my body in the yoga practice through, you know, putting on the guise of the yogi with, you know, whatever cute outfit was either an om sign or a little lotus or a ganache on the front. and I finally got down to just the truth of my body, and all of the body image stuff started to come up about, oh, this is what I think about my thighs, this is what I think about my breasts, oh, my belly, or those extra 5-10 pounds. And then I also got to watch all of that just melt away, too, as I became more and more enveloped in the yoga practice. And it really helped me to distill the mind and the thoughts and bring me back to this place of connection with myself, and not who I thought I was supposed to be, and not with all the media nonsense that we get fed every day. It just really brought me back to celebrating the temple of my body. So that's a little bit about how I got started. And then what spawned after that was thinking, oh, this is such a great practice. Where can I go practice this every day? And there wasn't a place that was openly inviting women to the practice in New York City. And so, like any, you know, need that was out there, I was like, well, I'll just build one. And, you know, cut to a year and a half later, it's other people have obviously joined on and are very excited. This practice is now out there.
Well, it's amazing. I remember when you came on the scene, I remember my mouth flying open and me going like, oh, my God, they're practicing naked yoga. And, of course, it was in the same studio that I was teaching Tantra at the time. You know, we were both, well, you were shorter-lived there than I was. But, you know, it was in the same studio. And sometimes when I see the photograph that you use, your promo photograph, and I see the background, I go, oh, yeah, that's a great studio. And I think, wow, it's just really built. And recently at One Taste, I heard that you had naked kirtan. And so, you know, I don't want to jump too far ahead. I want to talk about, you know, before we do that, like, because it's a very exciting subject. It really is exciting. I want to hear about the people who come to the classes. Let me know, you know, like, do you find that the people who come to the classes are conscious? You know, do they know a little something about Tantra, or did they already practice yoga? See, you know, I want to dispel any myths, because I know that my listeners are going to listen to this and say, you know, oh, yeah, it's a bunch of horny people, you know, trying to, like, you know, check out people's genitals. So tell us, you know, what happened when, you know, your first class, you first offered it, you show up naked. They show up naked. How was that for you?
The first class, I really got to watch a lot of my mind chatter come up, just like I did that first day on the mat, where I was like, oh, it's going to be like this, or it's going to be like this. And I walked in very serious, like, this is very serious yoga. We have to be very serious about this. And we all came in clothed, and I had everybody roll out their mats and sit down on their mats clothed. And, you know, talked about, you know, my, you know, philosophy and why I wanted to offer this. And then I had each person write out one thing that they wanted to let go of, you know, whether that was fear or shame or, you know, guilt or any negative thought pattern, even the stress of the day. And then we moved into setting an intention for the class, one thing we wanted to invoke and celebrate through yoga, which I usually see as a physical form of worship, of communing with the divine in the body. So one intention we wanted to place in the temple of our body that day. And then I had everybody stand up and go through this mindful disrobing process of, with their clothing, removing that one thing that they wanted to let go of and turning that into a ritual, so it actually, you know, place even a deeper meaning on it rather than just simply stating it or then just simply writing it down. We actually move through the physical process of taking it off of our bodies and off of our energetic fields and then letting it go and just offering it up, like the term swaha, just throwing it up to the divine. And then we set our intention and opened with three ohms. And I remember just about on the second ohm, I kind of flew out of my body and was like surveying the room from up above and just wanted to start laughing, because there is that element of absurdity to it. It's like, how did I get, you know, 20 New Yorkers together in this room to practice yoga naked? And just also the beauty about that, oh my God, you know, they must trust me so much in this process and in my own truth. In the end, I also realized that you also have to have a wonderful sense of humor with this work. And we do have an online screening process where people fill out their forms of, you know, have you ever practiced yoga before? What is yoga to you? Why do you want to practice naked yoga? Our three main questions about bringing, you know, the whole idea of this practice into consciousness. So people can't just absentmindedly show up, oh, that sounds cool, I want to go, or, oh, I want to see a lot of naked women and, you know, shapes in the yoga practice. So it does bring a level of consciousness about really getting clear about why you chose to be here in this class, what your intention is, and what you're looking to also let go and transmute in your own life in order to have an authentic, conscious experience on the mat. So it's pulling all these different groups of people together. You know, obviously there are some who are very practiced yogis who want to do something else to explore and expand their practice. And there are also tantric practitioners who come to the class too, and who are interested in, you know, the yoga practice, but in a tantric perspective way. And then there are a lot of nudists who come to the class as well, who fully embrace a naked yoga or a naked lifestyle and want to bring that to a yoga practice in their life. And then there's, you know, always a wild card who it's, you know, there's something about the class that's intriguing them, and they want to try, you know, something once to say that they did. And it's that whole thing of, you know, if you had to, you know, give a public speech and there was, you know, fear behind it, you could just picture everyone naked or in their underwear or whatever it is.
Right,
but really,
right.
Once you've done that, you know, so much else is possible. So there are people who are coming who are really wanting to stretch themselves in different ways, and it gives them this tool for freedom of almost like a sense memory, like, oh, wait, I actually did that once. You know, I put myself in this place where I was vulnerable and breathing with it and connected, and if I did that once, I can do that again. And so those are kind of like the four types of people we have in our class. Yogis, tantrics, nudists, and the person is really looking to push themselves, isn't quite sure why they're there, but is looking for a piece of freedom and mm-hmm. and in moving their consciousness to another level. Yeah.
I imagine it's a tremendous freedom for all of the above. You know, even the nudists, you know, I just imagine it's an amazing chunk of freedom for all of them. And I applaud you for going past your own boundaries, you know, your own limitations in it, and seeing that it would add tremendous value to people's lives. And, you know, that's amazing. You know, now people ask me if I'm... When they're first coming to my tantra classes, they ask me all the time, do we do the practice clothed? And I always say, yeah, we do. And they say, why? And I say, because I would be too distracted if I were teaching you naked. I personally would be distracted. But I have taught tantra at a naked venue, a nude venue in England. For some, it was distracting, and for others, it wasn't. And then I gave a tantra talk at a nudist colony in Florida once for their winter festival. And it was funny because that was the only day I didn't really know what to wear. Like to drive over and show up, you know. And I got there, everybody was naked, and I said, well, I was really worried today about what to wear over here. What do you think? And they said, oh, you look fabulous. And I said, okay, should I take it off? And they said, no. You look great. So it was funny. So I can just picture a little bit. What, you know, have you had any times, you know, when you felt, that someone was in a, it was, the class was inappropriate for someone. I think people want to know that. You know, have you ever had to, like, kick anyone out of the class?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. Also, one of our questions on the online forum is, you know, do you have any thing that would prevent you, any physical injuries, mental illnesses that would prevent you from participating in this class fully? And so I have... even from, like, the nudist sector, I've had some people come and they've either had, you know, really severe arthritis and then just couldn't get to the point of where we were starting in a yoga practice of, like, moving into a downward-facing dog sort of shape. Mm-hmm. That just was too much in, for their actual body to handle. And so while they're very comfortable, you know, in their body, it was actually physical poses were hindering them. And so the type of yoga that... I was teaching wasn't the type of yoga that they necessarily needed. So in that case, that wasn't the best fit.
I see, yeah.
I have recently started a basics yoga with a beautiful teacher that I'm working with named Sarah, who's now working on more of the foundational poses so that if you are recovering from an injury, like I had a polio survivor, who was taking class, and the asanas were a little bit difficult for him to get into. And the basics class is a wonderful entry point for him to then come and explore his own expression of movement and have that be a class where he could meet him where he is in his practice. And then there was one time, and it's always this one person, you know, that makes you put an extra little side note on the rules on the website. I had someone show up in a trench coat and Nikes and nothing else.
Oh,
and,
my God.
Yeah, and walked into the studio. That's one of the things, like, are you here to take class? And we had a wonderful talk. He actually told me he was just too nervous about coming to class to put clothes on. And I said, I'm sorry. That's just a prerequisite. You have to wear clothes to the studio. so that is now a rule on our website.
Hysterical. That's like the classic flasher in all the comics and everything. You think about a person in a trench coat with sneakers.
That is exactly it. And the whole point was, it's like, who are you going to flash? It's a naked class. Like, we're all going to be naked in a sacred circle together practicing yoga. It's just the whole absurdity of the idea. Yeah, it's one that's still, I get a chuckle at.
That's so funny. That is so funny. I can imagine you going, what?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Showing up like that. Okay, that's great. Well, we're going to take a little break now for a few moments. We're going to get, we're going to give some airtime to my commercial sponsors. And if you've just tuned into this show, I am talking to Isis Phoenix, who's the founder of Naked Yoga New York City and the Phoenix Temple in Manhattan. And this is Lori Handlers, and you're listening to Tantra Cafe on bbsradio.com. And we will be right back. I would love it if you would stay tuned. We'll be right back with you. Are you someone who's looking for more pleasure in your life and you've never heard of Eve's Garden? Eve's Garden is a comfortable and elegant environment for women to explore the tools of pleasure and other educational materials. These materials enhance mind, body, and spirit. Eve's Garden encourages women to take responsibility for their own sexuality and clearly understand that bodily pleasure and spiritual joy are one and the same. While in New York City, you can visit the store at 119 West 57th Street, Suite 1201. And now, for a limited time, you can get a 15% discount on everything in stock if you go through evesgarden.com/Tantra Cafe. Go there now. If you want financial advice on how to plan for the future, I know exactly who you should call. My friend Jeff DeLone. Jeff's worked with over 300 individuals, professionals, and corporations in the past 20 years. He helps clients develop strategies for estate planning, investments, and retirement. Jeff DeLone is located in Newtown Square, Pennsylvania. But wherever you are in the United States, you can reach Jeff at 610-356-1254. Or you can email him at jdelone@delonefinancialgroup.com. That's jdelone@delonefinancialgroup.com.
Securities and investment advisory services are offered through FSC Securities Corporation, member FINRA SIPC. Jeff DeLone is a registered representative with FSC Securities Corporation. DeLone Financial Group is not.
Well, we're back, and if you're just tuning in, I want you to know that my guest today is Isis Phoenix. She's the founder of Naked Yoga New York City and the Phoenix Temple in Manhattan. And we are talking about naked yoga, and we're going to be talking a little bit about how that also connects to Tantra, how she got interested in Tantra, things that she learned, which actually may have spurred her on to this. She actually mentioned that her tantric practice had something to do with this. So we're back. Isis, you know, where can people, just to get your contact stuff out there, where can people reach you if they're listening to this show and they want to find out more?
Sure. NakedYogaNYC.com. And you can email info@NakedYogaNYC.com. Or you can call me at 646-460-9397.
Fantastic. Thanks for letting them know how to do that. Now, we were just talking about, you know, a man showing up in a trench coat with Nikes, which is so funny. You know, I too have had to kick some people out of some Tantra programs. I've just had people who really mentally it wasn't a fit, or or I just felt like they were, they didn't get it. You know, they were there to cop a feel or something. You know, it just, it was weird. So I, there have been a couple of occasions over 10 years that I've had to ask someone to leave or tell somebody that, that my program wasn't right for them. But I'm so thankful that that's, you know, it's been so minor. And I'm glad to hear for you that it's also been so minor, you know, in this year and a half that you've been doing naked yoga in New York. Tell us a little bit, if you would, share with us, go back to your tantric practice. You know, how did you first start getting interested in tantra and, you know, what it might be one or two of your favorite practices?
Mm-hmm. Well, I was led to tantra actually out of a path. My first teacher actually was studying and was carrying a lineage of a Celtic priestess and practicing druidic sex magic. And so right there, there was an element of the sacred sexual that was present in raising that raw primordial life force energy and ritual and drawing it up from the earth. And she was my first teacher, and I apprenticed with her for about 5 years, which then led me to seek out other traditions, like tantric tradition, like the Taoist tradition. So when I actually relocated into New York City was when I really started to pursue a tantric path and find out all the wonderful teachings that were out there and present, and started just going through all of these different sources to find, you know, where was my path in that and where was my truth. And the type of tantra that probably speaks to me the most is the one of the solo practitioner. A white tantric path and finding the communion of the, you know, masculine and feminine and the god goddess within. And I find that is so important in a tantric path, to be actively doing work on yourself every day. You know, just that you had that wonderful appetizer portion. We were talking about the body and being so conscious of what you put in your body and the foods that you eat and even the thoughts that you think, that every day, you know, having a particular daily practice or sadhana or ritual where it is an act of worship and that you are actively showing up for yourself. And it's been a survival skill living in New York City where time essentially is folded in so many ways, and we're moving here at a much quicker pace, and there's, you know, our technology is driving us into text messaging all the time, emailing Blackberries that we become these, you know, disembodied heads, you know,
right.
we're looking at screens all day, and it has just become so essential just for my own health and well-being to come and just take the seat in myself every day, you know, with tantric breathing practices, with, you know, mula bandha, PC muscle squeezes, with also pretty versed in shamanism. So coming up with different ways of clearing out the junk that we accumulate in our bodies, you know, whether it is, you know, stress or anxiety or, you know, perhaps a non-organic meal that we ate that you know, we picked up on the fly somewhere, and coming back and just checking in every day. And the first thing I do in the morning is I just take the seat in myself, and I'll do just an internal scan of my body, you know, moving up and down and checking with the garden of my body, basically asking, you know, what do you need today? What's the most important thing I need to know about you right now? How can I activate your divineness even more? And then how can I see that in others? And then I look at what I'm putting out in the world and my relationship with others and trying to mirror that.
Wow, that's a beautiful practice of asking that to your body and then paying attention. That's a beautiful, beautiful practice. And I'm glad also that you mentioned that thing about solo practice, because one of the ways that I've debunked Tantra over the course of having, you know, producing this show has been to let people know that it's an absolute mistake to believe that they could they have to practice Tantra with a partner. You know, that they have to practice Kama Sutra postures or whatever, that, you know, it's taught us so much deeper than that, and looking within is the biggest gift that a person can have by becoming tantric. Like, they actually do start to find their male and female joining forces and marrying, and they find themselves much more centered, and they, you know, and then they ask themselves the question of, you know, what's going to feed me? So, I'm so glad that you said that to people. That, you know, just so people don't think that I'm the only person on this bandwagon.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, a couple of years ago, I actually did a marriage ceremony for myself in marrying the masculine and feminine aspects within and moving, you know, even deeper to that commitment as being whole and complete in myself. And there are days where I'm like, well, what does my feminine want to do today? What does my masculine want to do today? And then how can they both coexist in a harmonious way? Because in New York, you know, it's such a solar plexus masculine society that my inner masculine can tend to dominate my feminine side with a needing to, you know, do all the time and you know, put out and do projects and all these classes and sessions. And then it's like, you know, my feminine just really wants to go get her nails done.
Mm-hmm.
making time for that too. Or, you know, my feminine just wants to meditate right now and exist in the being, or wants to, you know, cook a beautiful, you know, dinner or something like that, co-create, and instead of having to do all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can. It's critical in the tantric sense, but I mean, it does, I want people to know that they don't even consciously have to think this way. It just happens.
Mm-hmm.
With tantric practice, it just happens. Like, all of a sudden, the feminine is actually getting a voice. And, and then it's up to us to pay attention. I say to people, you're gonna breathe anyway, so you might as well breathe and squeeze, or breathe and pay attention. And
wow.
See what's really going on. Maybe you just feel like rest.
Yeah.
So that's great. That's great. It's just, it's great to talk with you and have you give these suggestions, especially to New Yorkers. But, you know, people are listening to the show from really all over the world, and they can get, they can go back and listen to the show even if they're not listening to its broadcast. They can listen by going to tantracafe.com. Or they can listen by going to the BBS radio archives. And it's the people, you know, the world has really become talking heads. So people going around from meeting to meeting, and their body is just necessary to get the head to the next place. So you're talking about slowing down in the city of speed, of overstimulation, of craziness, of honking horns, of all of it. And it's fantastic that you're doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, tell us a little more about, what the Phoenix Temple is, and what all are you doing there? What are some of the programs that you have coming up? And then, of course, tell me about this kirtan thing that happened. You know, how you got that idea, you know, and what else you have cooked up?
Sure. Well, the Phoenix Temple, like you said, it's in Midtown Manhattan, and it started with wanting a permanent home for my naked yoga classes, because we were bouncing around to different yoga studios, you know, trying to find the right fit, and, you know, the demand just kept coming, and I said, you know, why don't we just put a temple where people really just want to come and show up for their bodies and have this, you know, fully communing experience with the divine, and we'll draw in that anything that is, you know, focusing on being consciously existing in a fully embodied state while recognizing the divineness of that state. So that's kind of our mission statement. Right there is, you know, fully communing with the divine in a body, and, you know, accepting that we're souls clothed in flesh, and celebrating that fact. And so we do all wonderful things. You know, obviously, there's the naked yoga classes that happen on a weekly basis, but, you know, we have wonderful tantric workshops. We had a Teeny Dakini's energy essentials come through, and Barbara Corrales came and did a wonderful series on her urban tantra. and then she's coming back in the spring, and then Carla Terra is also coming to offer a wonderful intro to Tantra workshop. So we're basically just holding space for tantric workshops, you know, body play shops to, you know, come together and have a space. And oftentimes it can be difficult to have that entry point into a yoga studio in a tantric practice. There's some yoga studios can be very standoffish about tantra or about naked yoga, obviously. And so it was wanting to create this space where it was, you know, not just accepted but celebrated on all levels, about a space where people can come and just absolutely, you know, be who they are and celebrate the fact that they have a body, they're in a body, and that they're a divine being. So that's a little bit about what's cooking up. But Naked Kirtan was an extension, obviously, of the naked yoga practice, and that I had some people who, you know, do kirtans on a professional circuit, wanting to come and offer them in a naked venue as a way of, you know, self-expression and, you know, communing with the divine, and, you know, a better way to get really in touch with that. You know, then doing it naked, you know, just as we, you know, came out of, like, the portal of the yoni, you know, into this world. It was like this, like, gift we have of this beautiful body, and then celebrating that, you know, through a naked reverence of chanting and singing and dancing and vibrating. And so we did that down at the One Taste Center in New York City, because we use a little bigger space for that, and a space where we could really get noisy.
How many people did you have there?
We had about 35 show up. Mm. The Phoenix Temple space probably holds, you know, seated around 20, and we fit about, you know, 12 yoga mats in that space.
Well, I heard it was fantastic. I mean, I did hear about it, and I think it was a great idea. And do you have other things, you know, different things that you're cooking up for the next? I mean, you're a year and a half old at this in Manhattan, and are you cooking up lots of other kind of naked divine experiences?
Well, Naked Kirtan was a hit, so we'll bring one of those back too. And we have a yin restorative naked yoga class on a monthly basis, where we also bring in a live musical guest and just let the music bring you into a more ambient stage with the asana, because the poses in a yin practice are held for a longer time, so you're really there examining yourself, and the music's used to take you a little bit deeper into a trance state and start to unwind even more layers of the body. And then Carla Terra is coming to the Phoenix Temple November, December, and January for a series for Intro to Tantra. We're really pleased to have her here as well. And then I'm cooking up naked yoga and creative writing.
And oh, great.
Using the free flow of body and yoga in the asana practice to awaken the creative centers, and, you know, to kind of abolish any sort of writer's block that's going on in there. But I've always been incredibly inspired, because I do some writing myself, to use the practice of coming fully from the body. And so it's those places where I find that I get stuck, you know, with, oh, what's the thought or what's the word that would fit right here in this, you know, beautiful poem that I'm trying to create, that it's always about coming back and listening to the messages of the body to then tap back into that free flow of energy that can expand. And so that's a workshop that we're going to have in December.
Wonderful, wonderful. So, well, we're going to stop here again. We're going to take a little break, and then I have some other I think poignant questions for you as we round out our hour. So if people have just tuned in, I just want to let them know I'm speaking with Isis Phoenix, who is the founder of Naked Yoga in New York City and the Phoenix Temple in Manhattan. And this is Laurie Handlers. You're listening to Tantra Cafe, a program for spiritual enlightenment on bbsradio.com. We're going to pause here for another commercial break, and then we'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Are you feeling like you just don't get it? All this talk about sex and love, love and sex. Feeling like all people ever think about and talk about is sex. Maybe you are longing for a more spiritual sexual connection. Hey, maybe you are just totally confused about all of it. Lori Handler's new book, Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy, puts the innocence and love back into sex. And it gives Tantra the respect it truly deserves. In this book, you will discover a wonderful meditation on self-love. You will also find fun new ways to develop an intimacy with yourself, whether or not you have a partner. And now, for only $19.99, you can get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy. Right now, go to www.sexandhappiness.com and order your copy. Give yourself the gift.
That's sexandhappiness.com.
Again, we're back with Tantra Cafe, and you were just listening to a piece called Naked, and it's by a group, Bliss, off the 100,000 Angels CD, and I thought it was so appropriate for my guest, Isis Phoenix, who runs Naked Yoga in New York City, and I actually used that piece in one of my special dinner rituals, and here it was, so it seemed perfect to use today for today's show. Now, Isis, we have a few minutes left to the show, and there's a few questions I have for you. Like, first of all, do you ever have class for women only or men only?
Yes. We do have a monthly goddess-only naked yoga class for women.
Okay.
And that's really bridging the gap for women to have a wonderful place where they can, you know, share the intimacy of a yoga practice with other women. And that class is really focused on the awakening and opening up to the divine feminine aspects of the self, goddess consciousness. A lot of the yoga poses are moving, you know, to open and awaken the basic Shakti energy flow of the body, of accepting the body in its totality and really removing any sort of limiting or negative belief patterns about the body that come up, you know, especially for women. As far as men's class, I started this practice in particular because there were only men's naked yoga classes that were available in New York. And right away I couldn't do that practice because I wasn't invited.
Right away.
Yeah. The other classes are all inclusive.
Okay.
So anyone can show up to those classes. And with the goddess class too, it can also be an entry point for women who are really interested in, you know, wanting to just celebrate their bodies and move past the shame, guilt, fear that we tend to have a lot of times that can be very imprisoning with our body consciousness, and have this moment of, you know, oh, I'm not ready for an all-inclusive class, but I could definitely do this with other women. So that makes the first step into this practice a lot easier for women to safely move in a a way that is celebrating of their body and makes it a comfortable and smooth transition.
Now, what about in your co-ed classes when a woman is on her menstrual cycle? Like, what do women do if they still want... Now, I mean, part of me, the yogi part of me, is already answering this by saying, you know, in some Indian accents, well, Lardy, you know, women are not supposed to do yoga when they're having their period. You know, like, I have that. I have that Swami Satchidananda voice.
Yes.
But I wonder, I mean, do women show up to the class when they have their period, and how is that for them doing naked yoga?
Well, I assure you they do, because I've shown up to the class with my period and on my menstrual cycle, and that was a really incredible life-changing process for me, just bringing myself into awareness about feeling the shame in my body that would come up, and I'm like, oh, how do I teach naked yoga now? You know, what happens? And you're moving through the cycles of, you know, not how I can hide that, and, you know, trying to pretend that it didn't happen, or, you know, I'm not on my menstrual cycle, and I'm an amazing yoga teacher that never menstruates, and you can teach a naked class at any time, to moving to a process of celebrating that.
Right,
and,
right.
Honoring that, and just checking in with my, you know, like, entire, you know, yoni and womb center when it is on, you know, it's cycle, to just check in and say, hey, how can I honor and celebrate you during this class? And a lot of times, you know, like in the yoga practice, it's not doing inversions. And so
right.
That class, you know, we won't do inversions.
Right.
You know, as far as like the, you know, very basic physical principles of it, there's a lovely, you know, another one of the things that's been added to the website over time is, you know, if you're on your moon cycle, you know, think of a way that honors that. So if that is, you know, you want to, you know, wear a sarong during class, or, you know, the use of tampons or sea sponges or the keeper, it's brought up a lot of, you know, wonderful things about, you know, here's ways that you could celebrate it. It doesn't have to be, you know, this shameful thing, and you can still practice, you know, naked. And so I have had a number of women show up still wanting to practice, and they do email me about this. They said, hey, you know, I was planning on coming to class. I just got my menstrual cycle. You know, I don't know what to do, which also brings it into this wonderful conversation that we can then have, you know, about, like, it doesn't have to be something that stops you in a practice, but really checking in with your body, saying, you, well, first of all, does it want yoga today? Because I honestly think that sometimes it does. In fact, one of the ways that I've helped alleviate a lot of cramps in my own menstrual cycle is through various yoga asanas that do open up the second chakra energy and just invite the flow during that time of the month to go also up and down through the body.
Good. Thanks so much for that answer. I like it. I like it much better than my Swami voice inside my head. When you must not do yoga on such a time. Like, I think you should do yoga if that's what your body wants. So thanks for that. It's a great response, and I'm glad to hear that. The other thing is with people with weight issues, do you have many people who are somewhat overweight coming and risking showing their bodies?
We have people all ages, shapes, and sizes show
Wonderful.
Up to class. All colors, all creeds. You know, it really is a beautiful just cornucopia of people who come up. And, you know, some of them are overweight, and some of them are, you know, very slender and fit and trimmed. And then there's everything in between those spectrums present, as well as the age spectrum. One of my most devoted yoga students is a very tall, slender man who is in his mid-60s and yet has one of the most amazing yoga practices I know, and is always, you know, coming back and showing up to this practicing and put a lot of, you know, get into most of the poses that a lot of people can't get into necessarily.
Mm.
And, you know, that said, this practice, it's not so much about, you know, oh, is the alignment just perfect in this pose, or, oh, can you put your foot over your head? It's about moving past the shame and guilt in the body and seeing yourself from 360 degrees, you know, in every shape, so that you can get those messages from the body about, well, how did I let myself get like this? Or is this the body that I want to live, that my soul fully wants to live in right now? If not, how can I start changing my belief patterns and my behavioral patterns so that I can celebrate and exist in this body as if it were a divine vessel.
Wow, beautiful, beautiful. Well, tell us again how people can get in touch with you, because I want people to get in touch with you. What's the website again?
NakedYogaNYC.com, and you can email info@NakedYogaNYC.com, and you can call 646-460-9397.
Just wonderful. So everybody, I hope that you take some action, especially if you're in New York City. But even if you're visiting New York City, because so many people visit New York City so often, check it out. Come to a naked yoga class. See how it feels for you. It sounds fantastic. Really sounds fantastic. And if you're wanting to get in touch with me for any reason, but with any of my guests, to ask me questions about any of my shows, please write to me at laurie@butterflyworkshops.com. That's my main website. You can check it out and find out about my India tours and my tantra that I'm doing all over the East Coast and some on the West Coast and some in the Midwest. I actually I'm going to be having in 09, I'll be having my first class in the Phoenix Scottsdale area, and I'll be doing a second class in Minneapolis and one in Boston, all my new territories, when I get back from India, that is. And I certainly would love to hear from you. I'd love to see you. If you'd like a tantra class in your vicinity, please get in touch with me, and I'll talk to you about what you can do. For today, I so thank you, my guest, Isis Phoenix. It's been a wonderful, wonderful interview, and I'm so glad that you could make it to the show.
Thank you so much, Laura. It's absolutely delightful. Thank you.
You're welcome. And I'm going to sign off for today saying namaste from Tantra Cafe. And we'll see you next time.
Words cannot express the things I have inside my heart. Thank you.